Welcome to Discipleship U. Glad that you decided to share with us. I'm going to go ahead and pray and then brief description about what we're doing, why we're doing this. I'm sure you have a fairly good idea or you wouldn't be here. Or maybe you're here because, like, well, what's going on? I want to see what it is. So a real quick run through that and then talk about this first block of what we're doing. The first few sessions are going to be about community and accountability, specifically in community, and talk about what we're going to address through this block, and then we'll jump into it and get started, all right? So let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for being our God and for being our Father. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for saving us, for coming into this world, and for doing for us what we never could do ourselves because you loved us that deeply. Lord, we thank you for your community of the church. We thank you for one another, and for the depth of relationship that is possible when you indwell each one of us. We thank you for that family. Lord, we pray that you open our minds and our hearts to be receptive of your word that you have implanted within us. We ask that you help it to be growing constantly as we are conformed to the image of your Son. And help us to help one another along that path day in and day out. May we reflect you and your glory to the world that needs you so badly. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so what is Discipleship U? Steve and myself had been throwing around this idea of some kind of more intensive discipleship training for a while. I don't know how long. I have a terrible concept of time. How long would you say? At least a year, probably more like 2 years. Because one thing that as ministers we run into quite a bit is people are willing. They want to do something big for the kingdom. They want to make an impact where they are. They want to make disciples. They want to be disciples at a different level. But how? Like, what do we do? You know, I want to evangelize more, but how? I want to go more in depth with a Bible study with somebody, but how? And we were trying to think of a good context where we could address some of those things for anybody who was interested in them so that you felt equipped and had specific training so that when you run into those situations, you're like, hey, I feel like I have a grasp on how to best handle this situation. And so we worked through a bunch of different scenario or groups of lessons to have that would address that very thing. Some of them are how to get the most out of your devotional time with the Lord to make sure you're connecting with God. Some of them are more evangelistic. How do you engage in spiritual conversations with people? Worship. What is worship about? Why do we worship? How do you engage in worship? Just a bunch of different things to address on a practical level of, okay, here's what the scriptures say about them, but then also, how can we provide context for us to practice those things? Because everything else in the world, you know, you have to practice it to get better at it, right? And some of these things will create context for role-playing here with each other, which may feel canned and cheesy, because it is, but it's practice with people we know love us and accept us and are going in the same direction as us. We can work through some of those things together so that when they come about in the world, we're like, hey, I've done this before and I know how to work through it. But then also the really important dynamic of having people that hold us accountable to those things. And that's what we're talking about today and over the next few weeks, because accountability is the foundation of how this is going to work. All right. Without somebody holding us up to a standard, it's easy for us to just let ourselves slip or to get into different habits or thought processes that aren't really going the way that we want to go because there's nobody pushing us. Who here has ever made a commitment, like a New Year's resolution, something like that? Raise your hand if you've ever done that before. Raise your hand if you actually did it all year long. One time. Okay, so we've got a couple of people. All right. Or let's say you've made a commitment like, you're like, oh, I need to lose some weight, you know. Who's made a commitment to go on a diet? How many diets have you been on? Yeah, okay, see, case in point, right? Yeah, and that's not just you, like, you're terrible because you failed at your diet, you know. No, we're all like that because when we try to go on things our own, we end up losing focus and we find 1,000 excuses of why we don't need to do it, right? But when we do those things in a group, it's a lot easier. And so we're wanting to form a foundation now of the idea of biblical accountability. It's a deeply biblical principle, and it's something that helps us grow in our faith. Now, part of that is being met in discipleship groups. This is not meant to take the place of your discipleship group. That is on a different level, more of personal struggles that you're going through, challenges that you're faced with. It's just a different set of things that you will deal with in your discipleship group. This will likely be more on the practical level, like, hey, are you spending time in the scripture so that you know how to answer people? Hey, did you talk to somebody this week that, like you said you're going to talk to about your faith? Or, hey, are you praying for this lost relative of yours? It's going to be very on the ministerial, practical side of things, all right? But accountability. When the word accountability is thrown out there, what comes to our mind? What do we think of when we talk about accountability? Any thoughts? Okay. Yeah, and I mean, very much it's the same thing in the church, you know. You said change. Yeah, we've made a commitment to be something, usually what we're not already, and it requires change of ourselves. But to get there, you know, we have people that will help us to do what we said that we will do. Accountability is something that's all through Scripture. Today, we are going to talk about the idea of having fellowship with one another. But before we even do that, just to kind of set the tone for the next 4 weeks, this idea of accountability, turn to Matthew chapter 18, if you will. What we will see specifically in the sections we're about to read, we're going to go real quick through it because it's not where we're going to really spend our time in this morning. But we see that accountability, particularly accountability about sin, is one of the marks of the true church, of Christ's presence in the church. A congregation that lacks accountability is not functioning in a capacity that is allowing Jesus Christ to be present and working in it. Because accountability in a congregation is one of the many marks we're given of a true New Testament biblical spirit-filled church. All right, Matthew chapter 18, Jesus begins talking about restoring a brother in verse 15 of chapter 18. Will somebody read verses 15 through 20 for us, please? Thank you. And again, this isn't the main passage we're dealing with this morning, so we're not going to unpack everything in it because there's a ton there. But the big thing is this. This is in the context of accountability. When a brother sins against you, it can be a sin of commission, they're doing something they ought not to do, or of omission, they're not doing something that they are supposed to do. They're not living up to the standard of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And it becomes obvious and apparent, so you call them out on it, and then it progresses if they refuse to get on board with that. But the things I really want to point out are actually in verses 18 through 20. The things that we see is that in this process of accountability, heaven is involved. God has given a level of authority to the congregational church, where the congregational church is able to participate in the decisions of heaven. We don't get how that works specifically, but Jesus says right there in verse 18, whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose will have been loosed in heaven. The decisions that you make, holding each other accountable, it's interaction with heaven. God is at work in those things. We see that again in verse 19. I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about anything, you pray for it, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. That's true always, but specifically here it's talking about in the context of accountability. When two of you are saying, this is where we're supposed to be as Christians, come on, jump on board with that. We know that God is active in helping us move in that direction. Again, heaven reaching down and pushing us in that direction. In verse 20, the promise of Jesus' presence in the church that holds people accountable. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there with you. That's true always, again, but the context is in accountability. One of the marks of a true New Testament church is its commitment to accountability and holding each other to that standard, okay? So that's why we started with accountability. So keep that in the back of your mind as we move forward, all right? So now, 1 John 1:7. This is the verse we're actually spending most of our thoughts on this morning. All right, so this verse, it tells us that if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, who's it talking about? Who is the he that it is talking about? Yeah, Jesus Christ. That's introduced in the very first verse. John starts talking about the one who is from the beginning that we have heard. They've seen him. They touched him with their hands. The word of truth, it's Jesus. And then he goes on down and talks about the message he's heard from the beginning, that God is light, in him there is no darkness. We see that in verse 5. In verse 6, if we claim we have fellowship with Jesus, but we're not walking in his light, we're liars, we're not practicing the truth. But verse 7, it talks about a different kind of fellowship. Verse 6 is talking about our fellowship with Jesus, the believer to God connection, right? It's deeply important, obviously, because we can't be saved without it. And he says, if you claim to walk, or you claim to have fellowship with Jesus, but you're not walking in his light, you're lying. All right? That's not what we're talking about there this morning. We're talking about verse 7. It talks about a different connection. It's the believer-to-believer connection. He says, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Fellowship with Jesus Christ, by necessity, by very nature, means we also have fellowship with each other. If you are connected with Jesus, it is impossible to be connected with Jesus and not be connected to the church. It is a spiritual impossibility. And to claim that that can happen is to go against what is plainly taught here and elsewhere in Scripture, because the church is the body of Christ. And when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we are incorporated into that body, right? And it's just a spiritual reality to say, if we're in Christ, everybody who's in Christ is interconnected one with each other, okay? So there's a deep believer-believer connection, one with the other. But let's talk about that word fellowship. When you hear fellowship, what comes to mind? What's fellowship? Yeah. Okay, that's one of my favorite parts of fellowship, absolutely. Okay, sharing life. Anybody who's been in one of the dozens of Sunday school classes you've probably been at before, or listening to Jimmy Swaggart or whoever you listen to, the preacher. Jimmy, I'm just kidding. It's just a joke, man. You are a lot harder than high school students. Because they just be like, hey, Swaggart sounds funny. They don't even have to know who he is. All right. Fellowship. What word in the original language is translated as fellowship? The underlying idea to this starts with a K sound. Koinonia. That's absolutely right. Koinonia. It is a word that it's a very wide range of meaning. Fellowship. Steve, when he talked about eating, it's actually, I know he knows this, probably why he said it, but used in the context of sharing of material goods and eating together, breaking bread together. That fellowship of taking what you have and sharing it with the community, koinonia. It's used of the offering spoken about in 1 Corinthians 15 at the end of the book there. He talks about the offering, the koinonia that you're going to give. It's the sharing of whatever you have. It is a participation in something bigger than yourself, having a share in it. And so you have koinonia with your stuff if you're a Christian. You have koinonia with your life. Like Paul said before, when he's writing to the Thessalonian church, he said, we didn't come to you just to preach to you. We koinonia'd our very lives with you. And so everything that he was, mind, body, soul, spirit, he understood that the fellow believers had a share with him in that. They had a claim on him, and he was connected with them in a very deep sense. So that connectedness, that having a share with each other, is at the core of accountability. What right do you have to tell me I should do this? Well, we have koinonia with each other. We're bound together by the same blood of Jesus Christ. The same Spirit holds us together. We have a share with each other. When you walk, you're not walking with Christ. You're not walking just you and Jesus. You're walking in the context of a faith community of the church. We have things held in common with each other. We all have a share in Christ together. Jesus is not my Savior more than he's your Savior. He didn't die for me more than he died for you. We're all made equal at the foot of the cross. And Jesus loved us the same way, use the same means to save each and every one of us. Now, I'm going to kind of touch on this quickly, just an illustration, just to kind of get wheels flowing for you to turning, for you to think about a little bit. I don't think there's anything wrong with people saying this, because I get the point, and I think we all get the point. When people are talking about the love of God for us and what Jesus Christ did for us, we make the point sometimes to say, you know, if you were the only human here, Christ would have still died for you. And that's true. That's how much God loves you and values you. And there's nothing wrong with that. So what I'm about to say, don't take as me contradicting that, because I'm not. It's true. But the reality is that you weren't the only person here, and that you aren't the only one that he came to save, which means that every Christian that you see and that you have fellowship with Christ in was loved exactly the same way as you are. So that value that we like to claim for ourselves, hey, if I was the only one, he would have done that. That's awesome and it's true, but that's not based in factual reality. He died for everybody just like he did for you. And so our desire has to always be to be growing together. All right, that love is something that God has shown with everybody. So the way that we treat one another is deeply impacted with that. And we love each other intensely by sharing our lives with each other. That means that we have a deep concern for each other. Sometimes in love, sometimes love is nice and fun and good, right? What are some examples of when it is fun and pleasant to share love with somebody? And that is great when that happens. And a lot of times it does. So much so, and we like it so much, that we like to try to fabricate a reality where that's always the case. And sometimes we sell people short on the love that we owe them, because we want to maintain that because it feels so good, right? There's a flip side to that, though. When are times when it's hard to love somebody? What are some of the hardest times to share in love with somebody?
When they don't love you back.
Yeah, when they don't love you back and they're unloving back, absolutely. Other scenario, think of your kids, when you've had to love them, but the form your love took was not pleasant. Ever happened? When you discipline, yes. Make sure my kids aren't in here. They know this because I tell them, but unless you really need therapy and counseling of some time, Tom, pay attention, because there may be some people around here. Yeah. When you discipline your children, you're not supposed to really like it. Now, there may be a sense of fulfillment that you get. I'm pointing them in the right direction. And sometimes when they're just little stinks, you're like, all right, you know, that's fair and just and good and all. But if you're like, I can't wait to spank that kid, you know, you are sick, right? Most of us, we hate it, don't we? The first time I spanked Sadie, I felt like I was going to be sick. But I knew it was what I was supposed to do. When I ground them and they're like crying, I'm like, I made my kids cry. It makes me sick. I hate it. Do y'all get where I'm coming from with that? Jay, when he was little and he's sticking stuff in the light socket. I'm like, stop. And he does it again. I had to light him up because he's a boy and they're stubborn and that's just how it works, right? And I hated it, though. I hated every second of it, because did it feel good? Not at all. But would I have been loving if I was like, yeah, stick all your fingers in the sockets, you know? It's fun and it makes you happy. You know, that's not what love is. You get where I'm going with that? I think you see the next step in this. If we have koinonia with each other and we intrinsically, by spiritual nature, have a claim on each other's lives, and God has called us to the same mission of loving God, loving people, and making disciples, that's the direction we are going. Sometimes that love and that fellowship together is going to be great. And we're going to have Sundays like we did 3 weeks ago, where we all get together and we eat and we have fun and we have ice cream and we almost win basketball tournaments. But it's a whole lot of fun. And we have those family gatherings where we come together as a group and we see growth and we feel revival and we get excited about things going on. And we have those days sometimes, right? Sometimes we go to church, we're like, yeah, you know, this is great. But some, and let's be honest, we're all striving to be as mature in our faith as we can. You don't have to raise your hands, but sometimes coming to church feels like a chore, doesn't it? Things aren't moving fast enough. I didn't like the way that went. That person's getting on my nerves. Like, I don't get why we aren't doing this yet. And sometimes it's like, man, this is weighing really heavy on me, because why am I here? We're not where we should be. What's going on here, right? Have you ever had days like that? Well, that's normal, because the church is made up of people. But I think sometimes we need to challenge our perspective. And that's what this whole idea of accountability is all about. Accountability doesn't start with me and say, I like or don't like this because this does or doesn't make me happy. It starts with, how can we as God's people bring the most glory to Him in everything that we do? How can I love Him more intensely every single day and play my part in a community that loves Him more intensely every single day? How can I love people more intensely every single day? And how can I play my part in a community that grows to love people more every single day? How can I be in a community and help a community grow in its disciple-making more every single day? That's where our thought process needs to go. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we feel that sense of revival. Sometimes we feel that sense of we're stuck. But that's life. That's how life cycles go. We are here, I hope, we've come to this to commit to each other, to be part of that group that is wanting to ask those questions. How can I, instead of asking if I'm happy or not, how can I play my part in helping Christ's church be everything it can be at New Life Church of Christ in Belleville, Ohio in 2017 and beyond, right? And one of the key building blocks in making that happen is this others' focus, which comes to play in accountability, in a community where we can hold each other accountable to that mission. There's going to be days that it's easy, and there's going to be days that it's hard. There's going to be days where we're like, hey, I read my Bible 3 times a day every week because I was on fire about it. And then there's going to be times where like, I didn't read my Bible a single time, forgot to pray, I yelled at my wife and kicked the dog, you know? It was a horrible week. And accountability says, why'd you kick your dog? You know, what's wrong with you? But we'll pray for you, and we will help you grow in your faith. It's a commitment to the other person, whether they're doing great or whether they're not. Because if we have fellowship with Him, we have fellowship with each other. That fellowship with Him, does He love us only when we're doing the right thing? And when we're doing it the best way it can be done? No. And so it's a commitment to each other, to hold each other to the standard that Christ calls us to, being gracious in it, all right? All right, so the first thing we're going to do then, now I'm done talking, you're like, thank the Lord, it's done talking. We're going to split up into groups, 3 or 4, no smaller than 3, no bigger than 4, if it can be helped. I don't know how many people are here, but what these groups are going to serve for is as we come together at the end of each session, there will be some questions for you to work through and even some practical things for you to do. Today, like this one, just before we even do it, I'll tell you what it is just to give you an example. There's a book we're going to order for everybody called Foundations. It's a Bible reading plan to help you to make sure you're spending time in the Word every day, and it's a good tool to make sure that happens, but also a good tool to help get started with this whole idea of accountability, because it's an easy, measurable goal. And so you come together in your groups, one of the things will be, did you read your scriptures for this week? That's an easy yes or no question. And then the follow-up, well, what are some things getting in the way of that? You know, creates the good, healthy spiritual discipline of scripture reading, but also gives us a good measurable goal to ask each other in our groups. And then, are you living out what you read about? You know, taking to that next level. So that's what purpose this will serve. So I'll get a number here before we go. In fact, I'll probably make it easy on myself and just have you all like come and sign your name on one of these sheets so I don't have to do it. But so that it's a pretty easy one to start. And at the beginning, we're easing into this because we don't want to overwhelm anybody to start. But eventually, it's going to get a lot more in depth to where it'll be things like this. You shared in your group one Sunday that you have a coworker that you know the Holy Spirit has just laid on you that you need to show Christ's love to them and you need to say something to them, but you've been putting it off. And so your group, the next, they're going to say, okay, well, if you believe that the Spirit has laid that on your heart and you know Christ wants you to love God and you know He wants you to love people and you're showing love to Him by sharing the gospel and He wants you to make disciples, by next week you probably ought to do that. And the next week when you come back, guess what they're going to ask you? Did you do it? And that's what these groups are going to be formed into being. We're going to have, and also when we do the role-playing practice things, they'll be done in these groups. So you'll look like a fool in front of the same few people over and over again, so it won't feel as bad, all right? And then when we take the four-week break, when we come back, we're going to retain these groups, all right? And if anybody comes new, we'll just kind of plug them into their own groups because these groups aren't meant to be disrupted.